भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 45, text start to 7 and 38. Dvijastayostam mahimanam adbhutam. Dvijastayostam mahimanam adbhutam. Samlakshya Rajan Atimanushim Matim Samantra Patna Samahanave Mritam Balam Prabhase Varayam Babuvaha Mataji?
Mataji?
Okay. Word for word, Dvija, the learned Brahmana, Tayo, of the two of them, Tam, that, Mahimanam, greatness, Adbhutam, amazing, Samlakshya, observing well. Rajan, O King. Ati Manushim, beyond human capacity. Matim, intelligence. Samantra, after consulting. Patnya, with his wife. Saha, he. Maha-arnave, in the great ocean, Mritam, who had died, Balam, his child, Prabhase, at the holy place Prabhas, Varayam, Babuvaha, he chose. Translation. O King, the learned Brahmana, Sandipani, carefully considered two lords' glorious and amazing qualities and their superhuman intelligence. Then, after consulting with his wife, he chose as his remuneration the return of his young son, who had died in the ocean at Prabhas. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti, the child was captured by the conjugal demon while playing the Mahashiva Chatra. Text 38, I'll do this. Tate yataruya maharato ratam prabhasam asadya duranta vikramau pelam upavraja nishidatu shanam sindur vidit vahanam aharatayo. Translation. So be it, replied those two great charioteers of limitless might, and they at once mounted their chariot and set off for Prabhas. When they reached that place, they walked up to the shore and sat down. In a moment, the deity of the ocean, recognizing them to be the supreme lords, approached them with offerings of tribute. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace. Western scholars sometimes think that references in ancient books of wisdom to the deity of the ocean, the deity of the sun, and so on, reveal a primitive, mythical way of thinking. They sometimes say that primitive men think that the ocean is a god, or that the sun and moon are gods. In fact, references such as the word Sindhu, in this verse meaning the ocean, indicate the person who governs that aspect of physical nature. We can give several modern examples. In the United Nations, we may say, the United States votes yes, the Soviet Union votes no. We hardly mean that the physical countries or the buildings in them have voted. We mean that a particular person representing that political and geographical entity has voted. Yet the newspapers will simply say, the United States voted, decided, etc. And everyone knows what that means. Similarly, in business we may say, a large conglomerate has swallowed up a smaller firm. We hardly mean that the buildings, office equipment, and the like have physically swallowed another building full of workers and office equipment. We mean that the empowered authorities have engaged in a particular act on behalf of their respective corporate entities. Unfortunately, modern scholars are eager to confirm their pet theories that ancient spiritual wisdom is a primitive, mythic, and largely supplanted by more modern ways of thinking, exemplified by their own eloquent remarks. However, much in modern scholarship must be taught in the light of Krishna consciousness. Om Gyana Tirmanasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakshin Kamina Tasma Shri Gurudevina Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutle Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravan Pashvan Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prashtaya Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutle Shri Mati Sashvita Saraswami Nami Sashupa Vigyan Vandu Vindam Shari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in the Vedic culture, it is stipulated that the twice born usually go to the ashram of the guru. At a certain age, some places say around 6, other places 10, 11. But whatever that was, this disciple goes to the ashram of the guru and practice self-control and celibacy, study of the scriptures. Of course, in those days, there's no writing, everything is memorized. And they grow matted locks, and don't cut their nails. They go out daily and collect alms for the guru, and firewood. When the guru sit, they stand by with folded hand, ready for orders. When the guru lies, they lie nearby. When the guru walks, they walk behind, and so forth. This is elaborately discussed in the Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna to Uddhava, the role of the brahmachari. And he himself is acting this role now. He doesn't have to, but to show the example to the world, he's doing the same. When the study has finished, they collect Guru Dakshin and then reward the Guru. Then they cut their hair, take a bath, cut their nails, and get permission from the Guru to leave. So we are at the point where Krishna has done this, and he's about to leave also. But the importance of the Guru should not be missed, really, because of the 8,000 species, 8,400,000 species, only the human species has the chance to acquire Guru. And even of the 400,000 species of humans, just a few, just a fragment, gets the chance to accept a Guru. See? And the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninastatvadarshanaha. One should seek out a spiritual master, render service unto him, and inquire submissively. He will impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So the role of the Guru should never be minimized. And then he also stated, Acharyam mam vijnaniyam navamanyeta karhisit. One should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods. That was Krishna to Uddhava again. Tasmad gurum prapadyata jignasu shreya uttamam sabde parecha nishnatam brahmani upasaman upasamas rayam. One should seek out a bona fide guru and take shelter by initiation. The qualification of the guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others. He has taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, leaving aside all material considerations. So the importance of the guru should not be undermined in any way. And for us also, whatever philosophical school we may be in, we should not in any way try to impede one from accepting a guru, a life guru. I know some proponents of different philosophies sometimes propagate different philosophies whereby the role of the guru is minimized, and we have to be very, very careful. Because it's stated that birth from the parents is considered animal birth. And the birth from the guru, that's the birth can relieve one from the ocean of misery, of birth and death. See? The guru, it's stated, the parents bring one into this world, and the guru takes one out of this material world. So it's very important. So the students, sometimes they collect firewood and food for the guru. In one case, most of you can remember, Krishna had gone out with Sudama Vripa, and they went out to collect firewood for the guru. And then a storm came suddenly, and they were displaced. In fact, it's stated that they held hands together for the whole night, and then in the morning, the Guru found them. And the Guru was very much pleased with them and blessed them. He stated that everyone has so much attachment to the body, but yet you gave all this consideration up and still try to collect firewood in this precarious condition. Of course, this story would come up later on in the Bhagavatam. So the role of the Guru should never be minimized. And so, because we've been dealing with the Lord Himself personally took up the role of the disciple to demonstrate to the world the importance. See? And so for us, we have to take this seriously also. See, take it very seriously. And so now Krishna and Balaram, they are ready to leave. The Guru Dakshin that is asked here is of a challenging task. But Sandipani Muni knew that these two personalities are not of ordinary character. Or they're actually the Supreme Lord. And even though the task is mountainous, so to speak, they can meet the challenge easily. So first they went to the ocean at Prabhas, and so from Avanti to Prabhas is quite a distance. But here it's stated, "So be it," replied those two great charities of limitless might, and they at once mounted their chariot and set off for Prabhas. So here it seems that the Lord went with their chariot to the ashram of the Guru. It could be that, or it could also be that they call upon their chariot. The Bhagavatam hasn't stated that, but one of the two. I mean, Dharmaraj yesterday explained that where he read that they actually walked the 500 mile to Avanti. See? But now it's stated that at least they use the chariot to go to Prabhas. Prabhas is a holy site on the western coast of the Indian Peninsula. It's also called Somnath, a holy place for Lord Shiva also. And so it's stated here, Vishwanath Chakravarti stated that the child was captured by the conch shell demon during the Mahashiva Chaitra. See, maybe celebration of one of Lord Shiva's holiday, and he was captured by the conch shell demon there. So what would happen that the Lord would actually go to the dive into the ocean, and of course the conch shell could be anywhere, but then he found the conch shell, but he didn't find the child. So then he assumed that the child was not there. So, but he captured the conch shell, Panchajanya, and brought it out of the ocean. And then he would travel to Yamaloka. It's stated in the Varuna Garuda Purana that the Yamaloka is 86,000 yojanas. That's over 600,000 miles. But within the solar system, there is no planet within that realm. We know the moon is like 230,000. But anyhow, Yamaloka is there, it's stated. And they would go there across Yamaraj and bring back the child. But remember that when someone dies, he goes with his subtle body. And so they would have to replace that body also, the child's body. And I mean, of course, he's the Lord. That was accomplished. But I don't want to go too much into that part, because another speaker would discuss more on that really. But the second part of this verse states that The whole proper deal with the Western scholar and his interpretation of the Vedic culture. It stated that the Western scholars tend to dismiss the Vedic scriptures as mythical, old-fashioned, outdated, not relevant. See? And so this is partly due especially because of the predominance of the Abrahamic religions. They have predominated the world for at least 2,000 years. That's Christianity, Islam, and what's the other one? Like Mormonism and Judaism. Yeah. See, they predominate the world. In fact, even in India, Islam was prominent for quite a long time. And they subjugate the Indian culture for quite a while, demolished the Indian culture, murdered and destroyed so much structures, meaningful structures and so. And so because of this, the Abrahamic religion dominates the world culture. And so scholars, they would base their argument upon these religion. In one sense, we cannot fault them because, for example, the geophysicists, when they measured the Earth's rocks and so, they found that the age of the Earth is like over 2 billion years old. And in Christianity, when they calculate the age of the Earth, they said it's between 5 and 10,000 years. So that's a gulf of difference there. And the scientists are actually sure that the age of the Earth is much older. The age of the fossils also are much older than 10,000 years, you know? When they measured through carbon dating and so forth, they found that the age of the Earth is much, much older. But because they have not consulted the Vedic literatures, they only consulted the Abrahamic scriptures, then so many doubts created. See? And so in one sense, you cannot blame them for these doubts, really. In fact, they start to dismiss. So within the Vedic scripture, it's stated, let us take this point. It's stated that we calculate the age of the Earth from the day Brahma began. And the day of Brahma began from the six Manus, it's stated, that has passed in this day of Brahma, in this currently. In the Manu Samhita, it's stated that the universe, Brahma has passed his 50th birthday and he's on his 54th. See? And so the age of the universe is different from the age of the lower planetary system. It's stated every day of Brahma, the lower planets are destroyed and recreated in the next day. See, the living entities are merged into the body of Mahavishnu for the night of Brahma. And then the next day, the lower planets are recreated and the living entities come back there. So the Vedic scripture states that six Manus have passed and we are in the seventh. And on the seventh, 28 cycles have gone. You see? So when you calculate that, you get close to 2 billion years. See? So we have close to 2 billion years. When the scientists calculate the Earth's rock, they get just a little over 2 billion years. So we can see that this somewhat substantiates the scientific findings. You see? But if they were to follow the Abrahamic religions, you know, with 10,000 years, it's not even close. So with us, really, definitely, if they consult the Vedic literature. Also, the variation of species, the variety of species. Christianity, say, for example, that all these species come about for decoration and so forth. Whereas the Vedic scriptures stated, because of desires and karma, there are 8,400,000 species. If one desires to fly, he gets the body of a bird. If he desires to eat meat, he gets the body of a lion. If he likes to fight viciously, he gets the body of a tiger. See? If he likes to run a lot, fast, he might get the body of a cheetah. If he, whatever desire you have, you get 8 million species there. And then the 400,000 species, out of that, you get gradually to take to self-realization. You see? So the Vedic scripture can explain speciation in a very logical and sensible manner. See? And we can refute the scientist concept. Then even the planets, so many planets, the multitude of planets. Again, the Abrahamic religion, they said that they are there for decoration. See? It's heaven, earth, and hell. That's the tree. There's earth, heaven, and hell. And everything else is decoration in the universe. See? But we've seen that there are so many planetary systems within the universe. So those are not satisfactory answers for the scientists. And so because of that, they created great doubt. See? And so the modern scholars have dismissed the scriptures as being mythic. See? Because they're not in parallel with their findings. We're not talking about their theories now. They have developed many, many theories which cannot be proven. But for the things that can be proven, the scientists have got so much doubts. For it's stated that today in a poll, it's stated like 33% of the populace have belief in the scientific experiments and findings and so forth, in science, so to speak. But at the same time, even though they believe in that, they believe in a supreme being. 15% of the populace do not believe at all in any form of religion. See? And these are especially the scientists. And 45% believe in the supreme being. See? So, actually, I'm sorry to go in so much depth here, but because the whole purport is based on the modern scholar and their interpretation of the scriptures and so forth, that's why I've delved into this so much. But so we can see because of this, but the last sentence in this verse states, however, much in modern scholarship must be retaught in the light of Krishna consciousness. So for us as Krishna conscious devotees, we have to enlighten the world and the scientists also to some degree. The authenticity of the Vedic scriptures and show them the validity, and they are not just mythical scriptures, mythical scriptures or outdated, nonsensical writings, but they're relevant, and lots of the findings of the scientists are in parallel with our scriptures, and so we can bridge the gap between science and religion to a great extent. And Srila Prabhupada sometimes say that when the scientists can discover the supreme controller as the supreme Lord, that would be a great achievement. See, so we can we have a lot of work ahead of us. See, a lot of work ahead of us to propagate our teachings, and And so we have to preach. See? The Abrahamic religion, I mean, they have been established for some purpose. But of course, because of the knowledge is very limited, we don't doubt that they are not authentic, but at the same time we agree that or we conclude that the knowledge of these religious systems are very, very limited. You see? For example, like when Christ speaks about the last age or the last day, see, a lot of people think that, well, that is just a few years from now. As soon as one sees like severe storm and hurricane and so forth, they think that a catastrophe would come about, you see? But it's a total misinterpretation of the last age, which is this age of Kali Yuga, and it goes for 432,000 years, whereas the Christians interpret it as a very short time ahead. Even that's why this Jim Jones thing that had taken place in Guyana, where so many people killed themselves, because Jim Jones propagated that the earth is coming to an end, you know, soon. So what's the point of living? You see? Like that. See? So we accept that this religious system, that they are there, but the knowledge is very, very limited. And because of the limitations, they cannot answer all the challenging questions. See? So I'll stop here. We can take a few questions or corrections or discussions. Maharaji.
Hari Bol, you mentioned that according to one's desire, one takes a birth either as a lion or a cheetah or a bear or whatever. But my understanding always was that it's like an automatic thing, that one goes through certain types of animal forms. It's like an automatic thing. One goes lower and lower, and then one becomes a fish, and then one goes upwards, and then one enters the 400,000 different human species. Also, when humans put into regression, last life regression, sometimes they go back many, many lives, and they have done a lot of sinful things, but they always find themselves in human forms. So how is it to be understood that we have certain desires and we end up in an animal form because of that?
Hare Krishna. Very nice question. Transmigration of the soul is a very, very complex and complicated subject. But we have it that the soul actually fell from Indraloka and come down, come to the human species, and then fall down to the lower species. And then one thought states that it started from the lowest of species and rises up to the human platform. Whatever it is, when one comes to human form, he must understand the laws of the Supreme, Atata, Atato, Brahma Jignasya. He should inquire into the absolute truth. It's stated that ignorance of the law is no excuse. In the human form, he's not excused for his activities. See? In the animal form, so for example, if one likes to eat a lot of meat and so forth, you see, and has those strong desires, then what usually happens after death, he has to suffer in the hellish planet for his karma. And after coming back from the hellish planet, he takes the birth, like of a lion or a tiger, whatever, like that. Like the Bhagavad Gita says, if one makes one consciousness like that, of an animal, he gets devoured, and so. So one in the human platform, he has to go through his karmic reactions, and after that, after going through sometimes the heavenly planets, the hellish planets, then he comes back on the earthly planet and he takes birth as, like, whatever his desires were was strongest at the time of death, see? And so we have this, that's my take on it. I don't know if some of the other Prabhus want to share some light on that. Yeah, Madam Mohan Prabhu.
I was just thinking of a couple of the Bhagavatam stories. We had Gajendra and we have Judd Bharat or Deer Bharat or Maharaj Bharat, Deer Bharat. That yum yum a piece, marm bhavam, that whatever you're thinking of at the time of death, that bhavam that you've developed, that state of consciousness that you developed, which seems to accommodate a lot of different ideas, plus the different general rulings. A lot of times we state something as a general rule, and there's always exceptions to the rule, special cases. But that's the way I remember it, is yum yum api smar bhavam, and then the Deer Bharat from Maharaj Bharat.
Yeah. That's reasonable. Rajarshri Prabhu, we should welcome him. He's coming from the Caribbean, a very eloquent preacher there. Yes, Rajarshri.
Hare Krishna. I'm just trying to reconcile the second aspect. This one, according to desire, this is what Madan Mohan Prabhu acknowledged. I don't know where I got this impression from, that when the living entity first comes in into the material atmosphere, he sort of goes through an automatic descent through the species, an automatic descent through the different species. I can't quote that from anywhere, but I've heard someone say that the living entity, when he comes as a Brahma, he's curious, he wants to try out all the different bodies that were created, so he goes through. I can't quote that this is authentic, but it seems that is the automatic going through different species, and now, as you said, after you get the human form, then according to what you desire, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam, you get an appropriate body according to the consciousness you create.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's one thought. It's stated like that. I think in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, or teachings of Lord Chaitanya also, I read that in other places. And also, some thoughts have it that descend, and then some thoughts have it ascending. See? But whatever Lord Chaitanya says, that one should not even contemplate that so much. He should understand that he is being in this world for such a long time, it's almost impossible to calculate. That's how we consider it, like Nitya Bhara, eternally conditioned, you see? So we should immediately try to seek out the help of the Guru and leave this place here. Don't waste too much time in contemplating, but we should understand the seriousness of this and definitely take seriously to the path. Yes, Prabhuji?
Yeah, it is explained in Lagu Bhagavatamrita of Rupa Goswami Pad. When the jiva falls, he falls into the position of Lord Brahma. It's not necessarily Brahma as he's creating, it is called Brahma Pad. Inside of Lord Brahma, there are different aspects. One aspect called Hiranyagarbha Brahma. So in one of these positions, he's able to enjoy the expanse of the creation without being responsible for the actual work. This explained in Lagu Bhagavatamrita. From that experience of looking at the creation, as Prabhuji said nicely, then he becomes attracted to a particular kind of consciousness. He falls into the human species. This idea that we first become Lord Brahma was stated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So from that position, he falls into human species. From there, the entanglements of karma begin. And then according to where he falls from that point, his development starts to come. As Didi said, it's automatic. If he falls down into the position of any lower animal from that species, in an automatic progression, it comes back to the human species eventually, at which time again, Srila Prabhupada, I think, mentioned tiger, monkey, and something else, and cow, as the last three births within the animal species. And if it's from a cow, it comes to Satvagun. If it's from a, like this, then he starts working out his karmic cycle again.
Okay. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.